Hi. So I have just done something a bit weird. Thought I'd tell you about it. I've just been writing an email to myself, as you do. You know, I'm sending myself an article that I want to read later. And actually, I think you should read it too. So I'm going to put the link in the Penny Drop newsletter, so the newsletter version of this. And just before I hit send, I did something really weird. I signed the email off. Cheers, Pen. I signed it off to myself on autopilot, muscle memory, a habit that I've got that's so ingrained that I unconsciously communicated with myself. And I think here's something that most of us miss. We think we're in control of how we communicate. We think we're making conscious choices. And while we can get in control, and that's something I love helping people with, more often than not, we're just following the herd, whether we mean to or not. The herd is everywhere. This week I listened to a podcast. I'll also drop that link in my newsletter version of the Penny Drop. So if you're not on it, you should be. It's on Substack. I'll put the details in the show notes. This week I listened to a podcast that looked into herd mentality, and I think that's when it hit me. We are all so deeply influenced by the crowd. We copy what others do to fit in, or we reject what others do to stand out, or we rely on AI, which just pulls from the herd, or maybe we follow best practice, which is what the herd has already figured out. And look, right now, the loudest voices are owning the platforms, both literally and metaphorically. And I guess the instinct that we have with our communication is to shout louder to compete. But I think the truth is, yelling only makes us louder, not easier to hear. So if we're not shouting to get above the noise of the herd, what can we do? I reckon we need to stop reaching for the volume dial, and we need to start adjusting the tuning dial. Because most of the time, influence isn't about making big, bold moves. It's more about shifting the frequency just enough to land where people are already listening. And I wonder what kind of conversations you're thinking of now where you've been talking on a totally different station. You were on FM, they were on AM. I think tiny shifts can tune you into the right frequency or bandwidth, whatever. I'm getting my metaphors mixed up, which I shouldn't because, you know, I used to work in radio. The other night, my 7-year-old son looked at me and said, "Mummy, you look different. You look all fancy and stuff." Thanks, mate. Don't I always look fancy? No, apparently not. All I'd done was put on a jacket. It was a tiny, tiny shift, but he'd noticed. And I think that's how frequency works. People don't just notice big, dramatic changes. They tune in to subtle signals that feel different enough to stand out. And I think that's how influence works now. It's not about being louder or bigger. It's about tuning in until people can't help but notice. They can't help but hear. Because I don't think we're interested in copying those people who are the loudest anymore. People are interested in copying or following what resonates. And so I want to talk a little bit about the science of subtle influence, because we assume influence is about being big, but really it's about hitting that right frequency. And there are three psychological principles that explain why these small shifts can have a massive impact. One is the mere exposure effect. So the more we see something, the more we like it. Repetition builds familiarity. Familiarity builds trust. But it has to feel organic. We hate things that are shoved in our faces. We warm to what subtly integrates into our world. So I think where we can make a small shift here is instead of making those big jarring changes, introduce small consistent shifts that build over time, like a signature move, something people start to expect from you without it ever feeling forced. There's also the von Restorff effect. I don't think I'm saying that right. Can someone help me out? I've always known it as the isolation effect. That's easier to say. Our brains notice what breaks a pattern. So when something stands out slightly but doesn't scream for attention, it becomes memorable. You might think of Seth Godin's purple cow? Anyway, look into that if you want to. You don't need to be the loudest person in the room here. You just need to do one thing differently. It might be one word, one colour, one pause in conversation. Those are the things that people remember. And then there's the nudge theory. So change happens when it feels low risk. People resist big shifts because they feel like a threat. But when something is easy to adopt, when it's just a nudge, it's far more likely to stick. So what we can do here is just remember that we don't need to force people to listen. We just need to adjust that frequency until they naturally tune in. So four things, four shifts that I think will make you impossible to ignore. The first thing, I love this one, have a signature move. Doesn't that sound cool? Be known for something small but unmistakably you. Maybe it's how you open a conversation. Maybe it's how you wrap up meetings. Maybe another key phrase that you always use. The key here is consistency because people will remember what feels familiar. Come up with a signature move. Another thing is make sharing your message easy. If you want people to spread it, hand them the words. Instead of saying, tell others about this, say, here's one idea I want you to steal and use today. People will take action. It's easier for them to take action when they feel like they've been handed something valuable and will make them look smart if they share it. Third thing, reframe resistance. I reckon people who are listening to this often get a bit of resistance. If someone pushes back, don't argue. I know that you want to, but don't argue. Instead, you can say something like, you're right to be skeptical. A lot of people are. This lowers defenses. And it creates space for curiosity. And it also makes you come from a place of empathy, that you understand why they think in a certain way. And the final one, gently interrupt assumptions. Assumptions are everywhere. I still remember learning how to spell that word. To assume makes an ass of you and me. Anyone else learn it that way? Anyway, it's stuck in my brain. And it's true, right? When someone makes a sweeping statement, instead of contradicting them, we can ask things like, have you ever seen it work differently? Or, yeah, that's one way to see it. I'm wondering what else might be true. So it's a gentle disruption, and that can open minds far more than having an outright disagreement. Big, loud shifts. I don't think that's what makes people lean in. I think tiny, intentional shifts do. Shifts that work with the herd. Your voice doesn't have to be the loudest in the room. It just needs to be the one people remember. That's it from me today. I've just got a notification on my phone telling me I've got an email signed off from me. Anyway, I have got four recommendations for you in the Penny Drop newsletter, all about this stuff that I've just talked about. If you haven't signed up yet, you can just go to my website, pennyterry.com, and sign up there. It's short, it's useful. Subscribe for a little while. If you don't like it, if it doesn't make your life, your business, your brain better, then you can unsubscribe at any time. No hard feelings. Righto, I'll chat with you next week.